Welcome to Sober Ventures, the podcast that brings together inspiring entrepreneurs combining the worlds of recovery and business. My name is Will Bradwell, and I will be your host. Each week, we feature a discussion with a guest that has made a new life for themselves in their sobriety. No matter where you are on your journey of recovery, it is my sincere hope that you can take some of the lessons shared and apply them in your life so you can see all that is possible when we tackle our addictions and turn that energy into something positive and productive. So, let's get started. Today we have as our featured guest, Gerald Rhodes. Gerald is a biking and skiing enthusiast and sobriety coach coming at us today from Boulder, Colorado. In our talk, Gerald shares his journey from being stuck in a difficult, unhealthy situation, wasting too many hours a day watching TV and drinking, and letting his life pass him by. After getting a DUI in 2015, he took a long, hard look at his life and circumstances he found himself in, and decided something needed to be done. He left an unhealthy relationship and living situation, cut out the TV and alcohol, and got to work on himself. He started a blog focused on making healthy decisions and got into speaking and then into sobriety coaching. He shares his experiences and the insights he's gained along the way, as well as some helpful resources that have guided him along his path. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Gerald Rhodes. Hey, Gerald. Nice talking to you today. So let's get right on into it. Tell me a little bit about your background and when you got sober.
Yeah, I got sober in November 16th, 2015. And I think I was one of those types of people who didn't think that they needed help or didn't think that they had a problem because I didn't feel like I drank that much. So, you know, it was 3, 4, 5 beers. Most nights. So, there's a little bit of day drinking in there. And, that was typically, what my pattern was for drinking. But there were some circumstances that made it worse and worse. It was really when I got arrested for my DUI that I realized that I, not only that I had a problem, but this was something that was systematically affecting, my entire life. So, it was really alcohol combined with television, combined with, eating sugar, just a lot of distractions in my life that kept me unfocused from really realizing what I really wanted. So it was a tremendous wake up call for me, and that was the last day that I drank was the day that I got busted for my DUI, and just made a series of changes in my life, some of them minor, some of them momentous. And, I just feel like I'm in a much better place to be able to have a positive effect on the rest of the world and really be able to contribute positively to people's lives. So that's kind of my story in a nutshell there.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool. It's crazy how things can change so quickly in just like one night. You can face things so starkly and have to make those decisions because of one incident. So tell me a little bit about like how old were you at the time? Like how long had you been drinking? How was everything leading up to then?
Sure. So I was 46. I was 46 when I got arrested. And I would say that before that, I was living with my family in my in-laws' place, so that had put a tremendous amount of stress on my marriage and on my life. So those sorts of circumstances were were really, really difficult for me to be able to deal with. And drinking was a great way for me, frankly, to numb my life from that. So, drinking, you know, watching television was a way to numb myself from that. And, you know, trying to save money, you know, with me and my now ex-wife, trying to save money to get out of the situation that we were in. I felt that I was met with a lot of resistance and, you know, we were comfortable there. So, and, you know, that idea of being comfortable, you know, was one of the biggest enemies for me, because once I lost yet another job, I began my own self-development journey, and it is exactly what you had said. From there, I really realized that anything was possible. And, you know, another significant thing was that I'd lost over 40 pounds by riding my bike, and that was another thing that led to me to believe that I could achieve something. And yeah, compounded with this self-development journey, I really realized that anything was possible for myself. And then, and that was really something that I was really willing to explore. So, but unfortunately, at that time, that was not something that my now ex-wife was not really looking to explore. And, you know, the night I got my DUI, she kicked me out of the house. I lost my job and, turned my life, you know, completely upside down. So, and that part was hard, but really, you know, for me, the DUI was kind of a cry for desperation that, you know, I had to get out of that living situation. And just like you said, you know, was that the best decision for me to make? Absolutely not. You know, but it sure was a way out for me. I started rebuilding my life from there. So.
Well, once you started getting sober, like, what was your path into, like, getting into more like self-development and then like seeing entrepreneurship and like all those kind of paths kind of fall in line after that?
Absolutely. So the first thing that happened was, I made the clear choice that I didn't want to drink, in that moment. So I didn't have any long-term goals for not drinking. I didn't say that, oh, I'm going to go a year or I'm never going to drink. But I made a real conscious choice that I wasn't going to drink anymore, in that moment. And it was really preventing me from what was important in my life. And, I also stopped watching television, at that time. And again, a huge distraction in my life. You know, what's the harm in watching, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 hours of television every night, you know? I had developed I had already started writing a blog at that time. And literally the day after my DUI, I already had an introductory call with a blogging coach to help me with my blog. So it was really moving my blog from, you know, a daily diary to creating a business out of it. And I knew that instead of just doing a daily diary about writing about things that I liked, I quickly realized that this is about helping other people and contributing, creating value for other people. And, you know, I threw myself, you know, headfirst into it. I, you know, reached out to all sorts of different people in the blogging community, and I got a tremendous amount of support. And I was going to these classes that were court mandated for alcohol therapy. I was going to these classes, and in going to these classes, I had this experience where I sat up and I spoke in front of the whole group, and you know, really tried to convey to everyone in the group that, you know, we really have control over our own destiny, and we really have control over our own lives, and that it's really the choices that we make in each one of these moments that you know, that gives us a choice, you know, to drink or not to drink, to have that job or not have that job, to, you know, have that relationship or not have that relationship, and, you know, really, you know, start to peel away the onion and see, you know, what's really, you know, prohibiting us from, you know, living our best selves. And in that moment, I really, I didn't realize at that moment, the instructor who was leading the class, you know, she asked me, you know, said, Gerald, you know, have you ever, are you in sales? Are you in PR or anything like that? And I was like, no, I'm just a manager at a cafe. And she's like, well, you know, you really have a gift for speaking, and, you know, you might want to, you know, take a look into that a lot more. So, very long story short, I ended up going to a Toastmasters meeting, and I joined my local Toastmasters group and started developing that skill. And it's really building upon these, you know, different skills and different habits. You know, the habit of exercising every day, the habit of writing every day. You know, the decision, you know, each day that I want to be sober and living in recovery. Then that turned into creating, I wanted to speak every day, because I felt energized and fulfilled when I spoke every day. But I wasn't finding, I wasn't finding enough places to speak. So I decided that I would create my own, 30-day challenge to create speeches that I write every morning for my morning writing, and record a video and post it up on YouTube. So I did that for 30 days straight. And actually, I've been doing that every day for the past 230 days. So continuing to develop those kinds of habits. And, you know, it's that whole adage is that, you know, you might not know how you're going to get to your end goal, you know, that path will be revealed to you, but these habits, they definitely compound and they begin to shape and change your life. And, you know, whatever you tend to focus on, whatever you tend to focus on, you will become. And, that's one of the many things that that led me to you. So
yeah, I saw you post and I saw you comment on a few of my things, how you were recording new videos every day, and I jump over to your page and I see your YouTube, and every day like clockwork, you're out there giving some sort of motivational message, some kind of thought for the day that helps kind of get people thinking a little bit different. Kind of shift that mindset a little bit. And like you said, like one of the biggest things about when you're drinking all the time is that you're not really looking outward in those times. Yeah. You're always just kind of focused on whatever you want to do at that time. You're in a very selfish kind of place. And that was definitely me too. I wouldn't go on YouTube and listen to anybody else speak and get input from like a motivational speaker or from anyone else. I just was like, okay, this is what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to go out with my friends. And if I forget about it, then it must have been fun.
And, yeah. Yep.
And so many nights just like went that way. I was drinking for like 10 years straight. And once I kind of stopped that habit, which is really what it comes down to, it's just one of those habits that wins over everything else. Once I could cut that one out, I saw so much more space for something else. And you got to fill that void with something.
Yes.
And alcohol is probably the worst thing you could fill that with. So once you open that gate up, then like you said, you find getting into Toastmasters and getting into public speaking, that can take you anywhere in life. That can get you to meet all sorts of new people and make a real positive impact on the world, instead of what we used to do is just stay in our own little bubble. Like, just like you, I watch TV. I probably still watch TV way too much, but it's one of those things. Once you cut those kind of things out, you can really make a positive impact on other people's lives, and just giving that message out and giving yourself the challenge, like a 30-day challenge, to commit to yourself to speak and to do a little speech, even if it's small, every day.
Yep.
Now you got it going for over 200 days. That's amazing. That's a testament to the power of starting a habit. Once you're going, us alcoholics, we get in habits. That's one thing we do. So,
thank you. Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So how is it your speaking and all that kind of developed? I see you're also like a sobriety coach. I see you, on your website, you have a guide for getting into biking and using that for fitness. What all kind of things are you doing now, and kind of like building your business side of things?
So as far as building my business, right now I have a couple of clients that I'm working with, and I'm trying to expand my business more and more. So, you know, YouTube has certainly been a big boost for me, emotionally, and, you know, I really, you know, appreciate all of the warm wishes and the support that I've gotten on YouTube, and it's really given me the inspiration to go out and make my coaching business bigger, and to grow that part of my business. I really feel like, again, being a sobriety coach and being a life coach is just a great way for me to be able to live my purpose. And I feel like my purpose is to empower people to change. And you know, that's what just makes me feel fulfilled as a person, as a human being. And you know, whenever I get to do that, you know, I feel fantastic. So doing that in a one-on-one, you know, coaching capacity, you know, that's for me, that's the dream, you know. Coaching, speaking, that's the dream. And but you know, I've also been struggling, I would say, more on the inside about growing my business than anything else, rather than on the outside. So what I mean by that is I definitely have I have friends, I have all kinds of a support network that can, you know, help me grow my online business. So I don't have a shortage of that, but you know, it's getting, you know, more and more confidence every day that, you know, hey, I am doing the right thing. You know, hey, I do know how, I do have some expertise in this. I do have something of value to share to other people, and building that confidence every day. That does happen, obviously, on my coaching calls, but it's also something that has to happen and come from the inside of you. It can't be something that is simply validated on the outside. So does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. I feel the same way, and part of me putting together this whole summit is partly one of those things to kind of commit to myself to push through those barriers and those thoughts of what do I really have to give.
Mm-hmm.
But just by like kind of doing it, like because I listen to a lot of podcasts and other personal development, and a lot of them talk about like the imposter syndrome, that you're always feeling like, why would anybody need to listen to me? Everybody else has their stuff figured out. What do I bring to the table? And it takes a while, especially for us that we're so used to like living in our own channel, that we were very selfish people. We like offering things to other people is not in our nature to begin with. And so going through this and seeing how it's kind of impacted our own lives and how we've evolved in this time, once you do that long enough, like for me, my whole first year was just focused, first year of sobriety was just focused on consuming other information, learning from other people, figuring things out on my own. But then right around a year, that's when I started the Sober Ventures thing. And it's just my way of like giving back to those people that might only be a week in sobriety or might not even be sober yet, but have an idea that maybe the alcohol isn't doing anything for them anymore, but they're still not there yet. And once you just have enough experience in that, then you can open yourself up to like start reaching out to other people, and it has to build. It's not going to be instant, because we have those self-doubts. They're very present. And one of the biggest fears of anybody is public speaking. So I got to congratulate you on that, on taking that one head on and getting into Toastmasters and making that leap, because you can't really help anybody if you're not speaking to them.
So exactly.
By going into that, that's the best way to, I think, make real impact on people. And it's great what you're doing. You're getting out there and you're coaching other people. And besides just sobriety, I saw you have like the whole biking challenge and those things up on your website too, to get people to kind of take a whole holistic view on their lives. And even if they're not into sobriety yet, just by maybe starting out trying to lose some weight, they'll start to feel better that way. And then they might just open them to question what they're doing in the rest of their time. And so.
Exactly. Because that was one of the things that I found in getting back on the bike for me was, you know, I really wanted to lose weight, and I kept saying that, you know, over and over again, that, you know, I want to lose weight. But it wasn't until I made the conscious decision that I was going to lose weight, and I actually made a change in my day, did that whole, you know, again, 30-day challenge of getting on the bike every day, did that start to make a difference? And once I started doing that, then I added another component to it. I started, I started to watch what I ate. So again, you know, these habits, they compound. So, and the same thing, you know, happens with our drinking too. And I think that, you know, that you really illustrated a real classic, effect in our society, because, you know, drinking, you know, during the week and certainly on the weekends is so widely accepted, encouraged. It's the norm, you know, it's what people do. And it is exactly that. It becomes a habit. And you know, there are, you know, some people where it's a real compulsion, and I think there's a different level, maybe to alcoholism and to alcohol abuse, but I think for so many of us, it's a habit that, you know, this is just what we do, and we just don't think to do anything else. And you know, if you stop to think, okay, what is important to me? What is it that I really want? And then if you really start to examine that, then you can start to see, well, you know, well, what if I wanted this? What if I wanted that? And it's like, oh, well, there's not enough time in the week to do all of that between the kids and, you know, going out on Saturday and, you know, recovering on Sunday. And, you know, there's just not enough time. But, you know, well, what if I didn't go out on Saturday? You know, what would that be time for? So, And once you really start to explore that, and you know, it all comes down to really understanding what it is that you really want. I know for me, I was just resigned to the fact that my life was never going to change, that there was nothing that I could do, that I could possibly do to change my life. And, you know, all the while I was just sitting there on the couch, just, you know, sitting there, you know, with a glass of bourbon in one hand, with a TV remote in the other hand, waiting for my career to do something for my life. And, you know.
It's easy to get stuck in that trap. I mean, it's what you see everywhere. It's what you see friends doing. It's what you see people on TV doing. It's like, yep, all glamorized, and you never think, well, how else can you live? And then once you make that space and you actually start reaching out to other people and you see, wait, this is maybe my reality now, but that's not the only reality there is.
Exactly.
There's way more things that people can do with their lives and way more impact you can do. You only get one life as far as we know.
Yep.
And how do you want to spend it? How much time do you want to spend just sitting watching other people live their lives through a screen?
Yeah.
When you can really be getting out there living and being healthy and making real change for people.
Yes.
So that's a lot of stuff to come to, a lot of realizations to have happen.
Exactly. And frankly, a lot of people don't want to examine that. So.
Yeah. It is a challenge. So you said you were a manager at a cafe. Are you still doing that or what are you up to these days?
Yep. That is my 9-to-5 job. So, I still do that. So, I manage a corporate cafe in the next town over. So, I was managing restaurants, working nights and weekends. I was doing that for a long time, and it certainly contributed, you know, to my drinking, and certainly my last job, you know. Drinking and, you know, having a beer or two on the job, was certainly normal. But more than that, just working the nights and weekends, that was probably the worst thing that I could have chosen to do for my family. You know, given that I really felt like I really wanted to be there for them, you know, if this is something that I wanted, to be there for my family, then why am I working nights and weekends, you know, when they're, when they need me most. So, that was difficult. So, and now this job that I have now, I work in a corporate cafe. So, I work from 7 to 3, Monday through Friday, have the weekends, holidays off, so I can still spend that time with my kids. So, and it's also, you know, it's also about, you know, designing your life too, you know, when you start to talk about, okay, well, you know, what do I want to do? And, you know, how do I want to be in this world? You know, there's the way that, you know, again, you know, that everybody else does it. But there are people out there who are, you know, consciously designing their life to be the way that they want it to be. So, you know, for example, you know, you hear about all these people, traveling all the time, first of all, identifying that as a priority in your life, and then, making choices so that you are able to achieve that highest priority in your life. And designing your life around that so that you can do that, so that you have a flexible job, so that you can take off a month at a time, so that you earn enough money so that you can take off a month at a time, or, you know, you don't go out to eat, so that, you know, you have money to go traveling. So, you know, it's being real intentional about the choices that you make so that you can do what truly fulfills you.
That makes a lot of sense. It's not always easy, but that's can be as simple as it is. Just figure out what it is and target it, put it in your scopes and be intentional about doing it.
Yep.
So you mentioned like having a sobriety coach yourself and like going into Toastmasters. Like what other like outside influences kind of helped guide you along your way? Did you have like any books, any radio shows or podcasts, any other YouTubers that you kind of followed that helped push you along?
Yeah. As far as YouTube videos, yeah, I mean, I watch motivational YouTube videos all the time. So a couple of them that I subscribe to, NTS Motivation, De Leon Motivation. They're compilations of great public speakers like Les Brown or Eric Thomas, Tony Robbins, all kinds of great speakers. And they do these great compilation videos of some of the, some of the great speeches that they've made, Steve Jobs, Oprah Winfrey, Steven Spielberg, really listening to the way that, again, that they struggled and they worked hard to do what they were really passionate about and never giving up on that dream of theirs, being able to listen to those people over and over and over again, you get it drilled into your mind that, that A, my dream is possible. Okay. B, really the only one stopping me from achieving my dream is me. And then C, that you can never give up, that you just got to keep on pushing. So, listening to, people like Gary Vaynerchuk, his relentless, pursuit he started the same way, that I started, he started with Wine Library and started posting, videos, even this is way even before YouTube, help build his family business and, really, as he put it, doubled down on his strengths and forgot about his weaknesses and just bulldogged ahead and, relied on other people for the things that he wasn't good at, but was just tenacious about the things that he is good at. So, as far as books, Hal Elrod's Miracle Morning, that is one that, I use pretty much every day. I have my own Miracle Morning routine that I go through, every morning. And it really gives me the grounding and it gives me the, an intention, set for every single day. That includes everything from, eating, my sobriety, my exercise. It really helps me start my day with my own intention. So, that one's been huge for me. Of course, Think and Grow Rich, listening to, Napoleon Hill, listening to, Dale Carnegie, you listen to, I don't know if you know who Jim Rohn is, but, listening to Tony Robbins and just listening to that same message that goes all the way back to Napoleon Hill and those same concepts that, that he was talking about, when he was, just chatting with Andrew Carnegie, you know, those are the exact same things that that all of these speakers are talking about. So it's really, really fascinating to hear. And, you know, and all of them have, you know, their different voice and they have their different point of view, but the principles are all the same. So,
Yeah. I was just talking with Austin from Sober Evolution. And he mentioned Think and Grow Rich also. He said that like just like you, the principles of success are universal. Like what you do in order to be successful in anything is still the same.
Yes.
It hasn't changed since as many years as that was written ago. The people that were successful then are following the same rules that the people that are successful today are doing.
Yep.
And it's not anything necessarily difficult to do. It just takes persistence and concentration and focus and things that when you're drinking all the time, you don't really have that. It takes away all those things. And once you cut that out and you realize like you can't be fooling yourself into thinking you're successful because all your thoughts are consumed elsewhere.
Exactly.
You really open yourself up to thinking with a purpose and controlling your thoughts for once. And I know for the first couple of weeks in sobriety, that's when you can start to realize just how much you would think about drinking before. Because you'd just like try to stay sober for a week and I had tried a couple different times. I would be like, okay, for the month of October, I'm not going to drink. I'm going to do a sober October.
Yep.
And it lasted about 2 weeks. I went over to a friend's house and they were watching the Heat game and they were drinking. And I'm like, you know what? I did 2 weeks. You know, this is good.
That's good. And so
I picked up and then there was another about year and a half or more. Actually, probably more like 3 years now that I think of it, before I really took another real approach at being sober. And it was the same thing. That first span of time, if you don't fill in your thoughts with something else, that urge and that obsession to drink will just sneak right back in on you.
Exactly. And I think, and for me, I had an experience a couple months before where I made a conscious choice not to drink. And for me, you know, same thing, I think it lasted 2-3 weeks. And, you know, the interesting thing was that nobody noticed, you know, nobody in my immediate, circle of friends and family noticed. And no one said, you know, hey, Gerald, I think it's great of you that you're cutting down on your drinking because, you know, it was really affecting you, or, you know, nobody said anything like that to me. So, I thought that was, you know, that was fascinating. And then, a couple months later, like I said, I got busted with my DUI. And I agree with you 100% that, you know, you fill your time and your energy and your thoughts, with drinking. And you also have this feeling that, that you can't control your thoughts, that, that is you. And, like I said, you just don't have any control over it. So, it's the same idea that you feel like, you know, your life just happens to you, that, you know, these circumstances in your life, they're just there and you gotta just deal with them, you know? And there's no sense of responsibility that you were the one that put them there. So, you were the one who actively put them there. So, that's a real hard pill for a lot of people to swallow. So they, a lot of people feel like, you know, I have bad luck, or, you know, these unfortunate things keep happening to me, you know, for me, I kept thinking that, you know, I lost another job, you know, I'm a terrible person, you know, I'm just not a, I'm just not a good, reliable person, you know, and, you know, really placing the blame someplace else rather than saying that, hey, why don't I make some different choices? And if I make different choices and it all starts with these different thoughts, that if I have different thoughts, then I can make different choices and then I can have different outcomes.
Yeah, it's one of those things you never really think of it before, but once you start practicing and putting it into practice and you see the results, like say you want to tell everybody.
Yes.
Like why didn't anybody tell me this secret before?
Yeah.
And then once you realize, like, well, it's been there the whole time. It wasn't nobody was telling me, it's just I wasn't listening for it.
No.
So that's part of why I put this little summit together, is to be that voice and gather a lot of different entrepreneurs that have kind of seen how it worked in their lives and how it's changed their business and how it's changed their mindset and affected so many more things than we would have ever thought.
Yeah.
You would think just cutting out drinking, you wouldn't think it would have this big of an impact.
No.
But it changes so much. I'm glad to have gotten to talk to you and everything. And I don't know if there's anything else you would think, if anything else you want to add. My last question would usually be, what advice would you give to somebody considering starting their own kind of business or venture in sobriety?
What advice would I give? I would say surround yourself with other like-minded people. I think that is so important. I think it's so it's another one of those choices. It's another one of those tough choices too, to continue to surround yourself with people who are not focused on entrepreneurship, who are not focused on sobriety. And I don't know, I think it would be ideal to have people who are, obviously focused on both. But if you can surround yourself more with people who, who are focused on sobriety, or more people who are focused on entrepreneurship, again, that will start to, change your thoughts. That will start to change your habits. So that's the first thing. And the idea for a lot of people to get a new group of friends or not know where to get a new group of friends, that's another, tough pill to swallow. I've grown up with this, with these friends all my life. I can't possibly ditch them, you don't necessarily have to. Well, you do necessarily have to do that. But, you can ease people into the idea that, if you start to talk to one or two other people, who are living and doing what it is you want to do, then that starts to expand your circle of friends. So.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I hear it all the time on one of my podcasts I listen to, Entrepreneur on Fire with
yes.
John Lee Dumas.
Yes.
He always says, you're the five people you spend the most time with.
Yep.
So spend the time with the right people and you'll see you can become like them.
Yep.
And like I say, you might not have to cut out everybody, but you have to be aware of who you are hanging out with.
Yes.
You have to be aware of who you're seeing and how they interact with you. And if they see you getting better and making the smart choices and eating well and exercising, and they want to just pull you back into their zone, then that's not the people you want to be around.
Exactly.
With. But if you can be around people that are encouraging and cheering you along, that's your tribe. That's the place you want to be in. So I think that's very powerful advice, and it reaps so many benefits, just getting yourself in the right circles.
Absolutely.
And I think that's great. So in wrapping up, how would you want to have our audience find you online?
They can search for me on my YouTube channel, and the easiest way for them to get to me on my YouTube channel is GeraldRhodes.com/YouTube channel.
All right. And spell that out for us.
GeraldRhodes.com/YouTube channel.
All right. And you also have that on your Instagram page, I see, as your main headline. And I see you're always posting videos on Instagram too, right?
Yep. I do that. Every couple of weeks. I love going up skiing and posting something, that I'm thinking about, something that I'm being intentional about while I'm skiing. So, I take every opportunity that I can to empower people to change and to make a difference in people's lives. And even a short chairlift, I have the power to do that with people.
So that's my conversation with Gerald Rhodes, a great guy with a powerful story of turning things around and making big changes. Be sure to check him out at GeraldRhodes.com/YouTube channel to see all of his updates as he goes along. Thanks for joining me today on this episode of Sober Ventures. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, be sure to hit subscribe in your podcast player so you can get the next one delivered straight to you as soon as it's released. And if you want to help spread the word, leave a rating and review on iTunes to help us increase our reach and our ability to be found when someone is searching for us. I look forward to being of service as this podcast and community grows, so if you have any questions or thoughts on how I can make this better or more helpful, email me anytime at soberventures@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope you join me again next time on Sober Ventures.